All right, 6:16 on this 10/24/24, October 24th. Going to be warm, highs in the lower 80s. This could be that way for the next 10 to 12 days. No cold weather for Halloween. They were saying on the news last night that it was cold and chilly and breezy last year for Halloween. I'm trying to remember that, but I honestly don't. Was it cold for Halloween? Maybe because I didn't go trick-or-treating or anything like that, and my kid's 28, and that's, you know, those days are gone. Anyway, we're going to talk to Todd Bentzman, Senior National Security Fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies, to talk about his trip to Mexico. I don't know if something went wrong in the southern Mexico at the border, and he's still locked up, or I don't know. I hope everything's all right, but I'll ask you in the meantime. You can text me at 504-260-1870 to talk about what you think the situation is at the border. The stats, the numbers show that arrests for illegally crossing the U.S. border from Mexico fell 7% in September. That's more than a four-year low. It was likely the last monthly gauge during a presidential campaign, and Donald Trump, we all know, has made immigration a signature issue, a huge signature issue. So I would ask you, is that like really the thing at the top of the list when it comes to presidential election? What is at the top of your list? What is your major concern? Mine is stability and continuity of government. And also when it comes to the race in the Senate and the House, the races in the Senate and the House, what is anybody going to do about debt and deficit and Social Security and the massive, serious problems that are facing this country? And is anybody going to work in a bipartisan effort to try to assist them? And I'm more concerned also about, will the next president, will the next Congress, will the next Senate, House of Representatives put country ahead of party? And I would ask you at 504-260-1870 to share your opinion on that. Do you think that the politicians today, the people in Washington, would ever put country ahead of party? Or is it all about being reelected? And if it's all about being reelected, you better fall in line with the party, or else you're going to be primaried or you're going to be facing some other challenge. I saw this too that I thought was interesting. Elizabeth Francis, the oldest living American, died at 115 years old. She was originally from Louisiana. And I thought about living to be 115, which is a long way away from me. But how old would you like to live? Would you like to live to be 115? Or 100, or 90, or 80? Just a quick survey here on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. How old do you hope to live? And apparently this lady was within, you know, still had her faculties and everything, understood what was going on. And I guess it's all about the quality of life that you have as opposed to the longevity of it, because some people at 60 are disabled and not having a great time of it. Other people are 100 and moving around like crazy. So let me know, 504-260-1870. A couple of things for you to comment on. What is your major concern when it comes to the presidential race? Are you going to vote personality? Are you going to vote party? Are you going to vote issues? And if you're going to vote issues, what is the issue? And how concerned are you that anybody, whether it's the president or whether it's a representative or whether it's a senator, that can work together and actually put the security and safety of the country, both militarily, financially, socially, in every way, ahead of partisan politics? Because I don't see it, which doesn't portend well for the future. We'll take a break now. Traffic, WWL 620. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the fall. It's the event of the season, and it's the annual fall savings event at my boy Troy Duhon's premier family of dealerships. He has finally gotten the inventory you've been waiting for at all of his dealerships, and you got a selection like none other. If you've been waiting for the right time to buy that new vehicle, the time is N-O-W, which spells now. Premier's cutting big discounts. The lenders are ready to approve with competitive rates with little or no money down. And remember this, when you purchase a new vehicle in one of the Premier family of dealerships, it comes with a free warranty for life. And if you buy a used car from Premier, all of them are Premier certified, they come with a 3-day money-back guarantee. You don't like it? Bring it back. They'll take it back with no questions asked within 3 days of purchase. Again, you're going to want to hang on to your receipt. Coming up on Saturday, November 16th, it's the annual Giving Hope Gala. It is an incredible event. Troy and Tracy Duhon put it together with incredible entertainment, great auction items, and special guest Ms. Gail Benson. And that's November 16th at the Hilton Riverside. You can find out more, get your tickets at givinghopegala.org. If you want to volunteer at a food bank on either the East or West Bank that Giving Hope has, please go to givinghopenola.org. Both are great opportunities for your kids to get some service hours for school if they need them. You can shop online at premierdreamsanddriveways.com at all of the dealerships, and you can prepare yourself for your transaction and or either sell your car, see what your trade-in's worth, or outright sell your car at premierbuyscars.com. Now, if you want to do it the old-fashioned way and head to one of the dealerships, the weather's great for that, too. Head on out to Toyota of New Orleans, Premier Honda, Premier Nissan of Metairie and Harvey, Premier Kia of Kenner, Premier Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Premier Hyundai of Harvey, and Premier Volkswagen of Harvey. And please, if you can, go to givinghopenola.org. All right, here we go, 625. We're going to talk about the border with a guy that visited Mexico from the southern border, but apparently a hard time getting him. I hope he's not in some Mexican prison somewhere. We hope the best for him. Let me read some of the texts, and then I'll play a soundbite for you from the campaign. Somebody texted in and said, if Kamala Harris is elected president, will Russia really take back Alaska? I don't know if that's supposed to be a joke or not. Someone else said, you say you want stability and continuity of government, but what has stability and continuity got in the Saints? A dumpster fire. Well, you're kind of ignoring the injuries there, but okay. Debt, deficit, and Social Security top risks. That from Steve in Metairie. But you know what, Steve? Is anybody addressing that? Are you listening to anybody, or rather, are you hearing anybody seriously address that? Because I'm not. It's all about, you know, no taxes on this, no this, that. And I'm promising everybody everything from both candidates, and all that's going to do is increase the debt. As far as how old do you want to live, somebody said, I'll be 70 next month, and I hope to live to be 71. You know what? You got to have realistic goals. I tell myself and all my friends every day I'm going to be 120 before I consider dying. I would ask you this. Have you ever considered actually that you're going to die or not? Or is that just kind of some abstract concept to you? I expect to live actively at 100 to 120. Healthcare keeps getting better and family has longevity. This text about immigration says 20 to 40 million people have invaded this country across the southern border. Absolutely, crossings are down. Most of the people that want to be here are. Another one says protection of our fundamental constitutional rights and protection of the unborn. Okay, let's see. Most of your listeners and voters probably don't care if a president is able to put country above party, because most voters have become just as partisan. Too many people have drunk the Kool-Aid being served by one of the two major parties. How did El Salvador, says this text, in the past 2 years reduce violent crime by historical proportions? Perhaps the violent criminals came here? Well, I would suggest you look up a logical fallacy called postdoc ergo propter hoc, and see if that applies here. What worries me also about the influx, not only for Taylor Swift, but Super Bowl, is our poor customer service mentality and training in New Orleans. Okay, so apparently somebody has a beef with what happens here in New Orleans. I want a government that's stable, exercises common sense, promotes unity instead of division, does the right thing regardless of party, puts the country first, and a government we can all be proud of on the global stage. And to give you a little taste of what's going on the campaign, we've got a couple of sound bites for you. The first one, Tim, I guess is, let's play former President Trump first. That is in relation to what John Kelly says, a New York Times interview he gave about the former president. He was former President Trump's chief of staff, saying that he fits fascist definition, prefers the dictator approach. You know, a lot of his former generals have come out against him. Former President Trump says it's sour grapes, disgruntled former employees. And I'd ask you that as well. Does that get your attention at all? Do you have any concerns that former President Trump would be, as he said, a dictator on day one? He says things and then they say that he was joking. On Fox News yesterday, they were talking about the thing with the Nazi generals, and they were trying to explain it away Brian Kilmeade by saying, well, maybe he didn't know that the Nazis were bad, which kind of strains credibility, but does that factor in any of this for you? 504-260-1870. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike Strain I know he's going to be there because Mike's always there for us every Thursday morning. We always learn something. We're going to talk about Louisiana shrimp. We're going to talk about fall. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. It'll be fun. Stay tuned. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 644, 16 till 7 Thursday morning. That's when we talk to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Dr. Strain?
Man, I'm doing extremely well. How are you?
I'm well. I got to ask you about Hootie. How's Hootie, the new basset hound in the Strain family?
Hootie is having a great time. Hootie goes to work every day at the veterinary hospital and is the official greeter. So the day is great for Hootie. Gets to see people all day long, then come back and just chill out for the rest of the night.
You know, we're going to have to do
a good old time.
One day, your respected veterinarian, as is your wife, we're going to have to just spend a morning talking about the best dog for the best, you know what I'm saying, to meet your needs and all that kind of stuff, how you find about, how you figure out what's the best dog for you.
How you pair up the dog to the person, right?
Yeah, because you know, doctor.
Vice versa.
A lot of times people see a dog on TV and they want it, and that's not the kind of dog they need at all, and then the poor thing wounds up in a pound or something else. We'll do that another day. Let's talk about the outlook for crawfish.
Crawfish outlook looks good. We've seen some preliminary discussion about up to 400,000 acres of crawfish. Now, I think that's a little bit optimistic, but if we can get up to a solid 320 to 350, that'll be great. Right now, the weather's been good. You know, it's a little bit dry right now. However, we still have enough water in most areas. The ratoon crop of rice has come along very, very well, and they'll be cutting that beginning, you know, in a few weeks, actually by Halloween, and in that week or two, they'll start harvesting that rice and then flooding the fields. So we're very optimistic. Everyone is working hard. They're anticipating a really good crawfish crop. We're going to have enough vegetation because they feed off the rice. You know, after we harvest that second harvest of rice, we flood those fields. The weather conditions are mild, and that's good. And that way we could have, the rice will break down slowly and feed the crawfish. And so we're excited about it. You know, we think we'll be watching very closely, you know, early January what they look like. But if these weather patterns hold, and we get a little bit of rain, just a little bit, and then if we have, just mild temperatures, I'm expecting a good crawfish season. Everybody's anticipating, everybody's hopeful, and everybody just can't wait. And we're having a good shrimp season, and shrimp is available too. And so we're really working hard, and our agency is going to be moving very, very much in the way of further promoting and doing a lot more with seafood.
Yeah, tell me about the videos I saw that I guess you guys produced about buying Louisiana shrimp and the shrimp industry in general. Is very well done, Mike.
It's very well done. Miss Jen Finley, I think she has 8 Emmy Awards.
Really?
Very fortunate. She's been with, oh, yes, indeed. She is. You see the quality. We have a professional team, and it's part of our continuing series of Crawfish Tales, T-A-L-E-S, as we tell the stories of the people, the places, the products, all things certified. And when you, just like with the shrimp, you know, we get down to the people, the culture, the whole part of Louisiana. And talking about the shrimp industry is about $800 million a year, and it's a vital part. And when you think about Louisiana, you always think about shrimp boats, you know, just like crawfish and everything else. But shrimp is a big part. But what we've got to do with shrimp, we have got to eat and really push consumption of local shrimp. We need to have shrimp boils. We need everyone to pitch in and start supporting our shrimping industry because it is dying on the vine. And they simply cannot survive at shrimp at $1 to $2 a pound. It costs more than $2 a pound for them to go out and fish, you know, in the shrimp. So one of the things with the series, and again, we're working with the Seafood Promotion Board, we're working with the Seafood and the Shrimp Task Force and others on a multi-pronged approach, and we're going to be very involved in that. And so we encourage everyone to watch those videos. We're going to be doing commercials and putting that out as well, as we really enhance. And the buy local movement, you know, the Certified Louisiana, that has grown exponentially in the last few weeks. We've had Community Coffee join us, Tony Sacheres. We have more than 700 companies. And so that's another way that we're going to promote all of these products is through the Certified Louisiana program. So it's fun. It's exciting. And if you need, and tell everybody, you can watch those videos. You can go to our website, Department of Ag and Forestry. We're going to be putting them out on social media, and then to just general distribution. But it really touches the heart and the soul of the shrimp industry. We've done one for oysters, Robin's oysters. We've done it for many different commodities. And I can tell you, you know, what we want to do and is build up that library of videos and then play those like on PBS, and people can see the heart and the soul of Louisiana.
Let me take a break. We come back, Mike. I want to talk about the dry conditions, both as it relates to the crawfish crop, as you mentioned, rice, how the sugarcane harvest is going, because I guess this dry weather is good for that, right?
It is good. We are rolling with harvest. Harvest is moving very well, but we need a little bit of moisture. I'd like to have a little bit more tonnage, but it is going very well.
All right, and we'll talk about burn ban. Somebody had a specific question about how do you know if there's a burn ban in your parish, when it's safe to have a fire, et cetera. We'll talk about all that with Dr. Mike Strain. We'll come back. Also, any other questions, if you have them, at 504-260-1870. We're going to talk about fall, too, in Louisiana and cold weather and all that stuff. So a lot coming up. Stay with us, 650, 10 till 7. Time for traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 654, 6 till 7. Quickly back to Dr. Mike Strain, who is always here on Thursday morning, talk about everything as it relates to the Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Somebody wanted to know, Mike, and we can fold it all into one big question if you want, about the dry conditions and the weather and what effect it's going to have on crops or crawfish, as you earlier mentioned, and rice, sugarcane, and burn bans, drought conditions, all that stuff.
Yes, it is very dry, and you can go to the drought monitor if you want to look at directly at the map. We think it is actually drier than what the drought monitor, again, is telling us, and we're working to really try to beef that up as well. My meteorology team, as well as Jay Grimes, the state climatologist, and we're really pushing the drought monitors and the drought authors to, you know, to really be accurate on this. So what we have is that we're going to see, you know, probably maybe a little less tonnage in the cane, but it's doing very well and it's harvesting well. When it's dry like this, harvest goes extremely well because the equipment can roll through pretty quickly. And so, you know, we have, you know, the ratoon crop of rice, and we also have some cotton left to harvest, but the conditions of the commodities are very good. The cotton is good. You know, the corn and the beans are very good. And, of course, the sugar, it's harvesting very well. But when it's more efficient, then that kind of compensates maybe for a little less tonnage because, again, the efficiency of going through there. So that's all good. Now, with the crawfish, I think we're going to have enough. You know, so far, you know, our water wells and our surface water, we're fine. We just got to have enough water to go ahead and get those fields flooded. So we're very, very excited about that. Now, on the other side, with the burn bans, mm-hmm. We encourage everyone, one, you can go to our website, Louisiana Department of Ag and Forestry, and look at the burn ban map, or you can also advise everybody to contact your local fire department. You know, more than a third of the state, and closer to half, is currently under a burn ban, and what that means is you can't burn debris piles, and if you're not a certified agricultural burner, you have to contact the department and call it in. And so we're urging everyone to please be careful. We've been having some fires. The other night we had some fires in Washington Parish, and what happened is that it was from a vehicle going down the highway dragging a chain. The driver, apparently, that's what we think, didn't know it, but set a number of fires and almost burned a farm up, and we've got that under control. We're having 8 to 10 fires a day. Our fire crews are gearing up because they know that these weather conditions continue, then we're going to have some problems. But again, with the burn bans and everybody working together, we can minimize these wildfires. We can hold them down to small sizes and not have a situation as we had, you know, about 2 years ago when it really, really, really got severe. So it's dry, the humidity is low, and we have these intermittent winds. But we're hoping that in the next 10 days we get some moisture, and then, you know, we can have a really nice, you know, early winter, you know, through here in some good conditions.
Mike, somebody texted in about these underground fires like we had, and you had a hard time putting them out. How does something like that get started, how big is your concern given the conditions for something like that happening again?
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, if you look at the underground fires, those that were in the marshes, both of those, the big ones were intentionally set. And so we have no tolerance for arson. You know, it is not okay to burn the marsh or to burn the woods or to burn the fields, by arson for whatever reason. And what happens is that when it's very dry, especially in the marsh conditions, and you don't have the surface water, it will burn the top, but then it will get down into what's called the peat layer. You think of soft coal, and it will start burning underground, and it can burn up to 6 to 8 feet down. And the only way to put that out is either you've got to flood it or you got to let it burn out. And so those are conditions that you got to be very careful. Now, if there's something out there, please do not go walking out to take a look at it, because you could fall through the surface into that sub layer in the fire. And what we've done working with the local fire departments and, you know, with the National Guard is to help facilitate marsh. Those type of fires in the marshes are actually not under our jurisdiction. We are wildland timber firefighters. We work with the local agencies. And the only way to deal with that, you've got to flood it. So we will try to cut or build a levee around it and work with them. And one of the things we're talking about with our legislative friends is to acquire 8 to 10 of those great big pumps, because we have to get those from the Corps of Engineers. You have to flood them. That's the only way to get them out. And sometimes we've had it where lakes were drained for maintenance and then they catch on fire and it can burn for months. We've had them burn underwater. So that's a different type of fire that we have to fight.
Burn underwater. That is crazy. Hey, thank you, Mike, for all your time and efforts and everything else. And farmers markets are open. There is nothing like going on a farmer's market on a Saturday morning getting some fresh produce.
They got some good stuff there. Look for that certified Louisiana logo.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Have a good week. And say hi. Thanks for the picture of Hootie. That dog's getting big. Quick.
That dog is getting big. Yeah, Hootie with her cousin, Mimi. Right?
All right, thank you.
You see, Hootie hard at work.
Thank you, Mike.